They saw him breathe his last breath. I mean, it's really dramatic. I mean, it's really, really told to us in detail, detailed description of the death of Jesus. And they heard a Roman centurion who was an expert in this, he was expert in killing people, confirm his death. And they knew that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had placed his body in a specific tomb. They knew where that tomb was. And had eyewitnesses that were standing right there watching this happen. And they knew that Pilate had this tomb sealed with a Roman seal. And to break that seal, you know, meant death. You're going to have this, the power of the Roman government coming down on your head if you break that seal. Eventually. But he also put a detachment of soldiers there to guard that tomb so that nothing could go in, nothing could come out. And then later, they would also hear something. They would hear, according to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, that the Jews would tell people that the disciples came at night after Christ's crucifixion and stole his body while the guards were asleep. And that lie, Matthew tells us, was circulated during that time until the writing of the Gospel of Matthew, the end of the Gospel of Matthew. That's where it is. So all of the Gospel writers were sure to contradict this rhetoric, these lies that were saying being said about Jesus. And they do their best to tell us perfectly and truthfully what actually happened, what they saw, what they experienced, each one of them individually, different things. And they did that because they knew that Jesus was alive. He is risen. So today, let's look at how Dr. Luke presented this truth to us, to Theophilus. And it's unique the way he says this. You know, there are unique things that Luke tells us that the other Gospels do not tell us. Maybe Theophilus was one of those who might have heard the lies that the Jews were spreading about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, let's look at four unique proofs of the resurrection. Four unique proofs of the resurrection. First proof, what they didn't see. What they didn't see. Look at verses 1 through 3. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So the women came to the tomb very early in the morning, probably the last watch of the night, from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6, probably leaving their house when it was still dark and arriving there as the sun was coming up. At deep dawn is when they arrived. And they were expecting to come there to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. You know, and there's no hint in this passage that they thought, oh, something else is up. You know, that we were just putting on a charade here. We know, you know, that the body's been stolen. There's nothing like that here in this passage. It probably was that they couldn't sleep well that night because they knew that this is something they wanted to do out of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, go and anoint his body. So they carried heavy spices along the path. You know, if they were like me, they probably fell down and tripped on the roots at least once or twice, you know, and broke things, panting and sweating all the way there. That's what I would have done. But the emphasis in these verses is not upon what they saw when they got to the tomb, but what they didn't see. They didn't see any guards at the tomb. They didn't see any stone in front of the tomb. It had been rolled away. And they were really concerned, you know, and the other gospels tell us, hey, how well, you know, this stone weighs maybe 2 tons. How are us gals, you know, going to be able to move this out of the way? And that's what they were talking about. But they didn't see any stone that was in front of the tomb. It was gone. But most importantly, at the end of verse 3, they did not see, and the Greek word there is to soma, the body. To soma. Luke is the only gospel writer. He's a doctor, remember, that was sure to tell us there's no body. What's a doctor going to look for to figure out whether there's death or not? The body, right? You're going to take vitals on this person to see, you know, what he looked like. The body of the Lord Jesus was not there. The body of the Lord Jesus was gone. They didn't see it. And for the women, that's the reason why they had come to the tomb, to anoint the body. And its body was taken away because the tomb was empty. You ready? He is risen. So that's the first proof, what they didn't see. What do you do? What do you do when you have an important task to complete? You know, I usually have a bunch of stuff, important things to do every day. But if you're like me, I put it first on the list. This, I say, if I don't get anything else done today, I got to get this thing done because that's the most important thing. And the work that the women were doing was important to them. They started out as soon as they could. And the Jews didn't have name days like we do, you know, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But instead counted their days in consecutive order from their most important day, which was the Sabbath. So they got there on the first day of the week, first day after the Sabbath. So these ladies dropped everything else to go and take care of the body of Jesus, which they expected to find in the tomb. Totally committed to this. Why else would they carry these spices and get up early in the morning and, you know, trip and fall down probably and come, risk their lives to do this? But what they expected to find, they didn't find. The tomb was empty. Because he is risen. Okay, second proof as we go through this passage. What they were told. I read verses 4 through 6a. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, it's abrupt here, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And the second proof is what they were told. You know, those women, when they came to the tomb, they didn't expect to hear a sermon. But that's what they got. When they came there, they didn't find the body of Lord Jesus, they were astonished. They were wondering what had happened. Maybe your translation says perplexed. Perplexed. It's not a positive feeling that they had. Two men suddenly appeared. These guys were not men, they were angels. We know that because of what they were wearing. What they're wearing was special. And it says what they wore gleamed like lightning. It flashed blindingly. It flashed brilliantly. And when these men approached them, they were terribly frightened. And they bowed. They bowed with their faces to the ground. Maybe because of the brightness of the light, but also the absolute fear of the holiness of God. Oh, man, where did these guys come from? You know, nobody goes through that experience on purpose. Notice the angels didn't comfort them. Matthew, Mark says, angels said right away, don't be afraid. And Luke doesn't record that. But instead, he asked them a question. He asked them a question, why are you here looking for, the Greek says, ton zonta. And you could translate that, the living one. If you have an NASV version of the Bible, it says, the living one. The one that lives. The one that truly has life. Why are you looking for the living one among the dead ones? You know, in the cemetery. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Then the angels confirmed what they already knew. He is not here. This tomb is empty. And then they told them what happened. They gave them revelation from God, a message from God. They said, in English, in this passage, it says, he is risen. And that word is one word in the Greek language, agertha, or agerthe, which literally means he has been raised. So it's past tense, passive voice. So it's God, it's telling, the angel is telling these women that God has raised Jesus from the dead. That's why he's not there. God had raised him from the dead, and therefore he is risen. You know, I don't think I ever really knew what bright meant until I had laser surgery on both of these eyes. You know, I've seen people weld, and that is bright. But when they're shining that kind of light in your eye, and it goes on for like 15, 20 minutes in your eye, you know, I talked to this surgeon as he finished doing this to me. Two times. And I told him, this is the brightest light that I have ever seen, ever. It was painfully bright. There was no escape from this light. And that must have been what the women saw that day. And it gave authority to what the angels told them. It's like the prophet Isaiah, when he experienced the same thing, the holiness of God, that's shown to us through this brightness, overwhelming, deadly brightness that we see. And he writes in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is risen. And God sent his angels to make sure that these women understood. Make sure they understood what happened. To prove that Christ was raised from the dead. He is risen. A third proof, reality matching what Jesus had told them. Let's look at 6b through verse 8. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Be crucified. And on the third day, be raised again. And they remembered his words. So the third proof is reality that they were experiencing, matching what Jesus had told them. And he had told them this at least six times. At least, maybe more, but at least six times. Since Jesus had predicted his resurrection, these women should have been expecting it. They should have said, oh yeah, it's just like Jesus said. It's just like Jesus said. Instead, they had to be gently and firmly reminded of what Jesus said while still in Galilee, that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. Then they remembered what Jesus told them. In their time of being perplexed, their time of distress, God's word comforted them. They said, oh, why didn't we know this? And it works the same way for us, doesn't it? You know, when we're under pressure, we're disappointed by something, we're lost. When we read the Bible, it gets us back where we should be, doesn't it? It gets us back where God wants us to be. You know, these ladies probably were a little bit embarrassed by these angels. And nobody likes to be embarrassed. No one would do that on purpose. You know, just kind of play the role here and act like we don't know that Jesus is you know, we stole his body, right? They wouldn't have done that. These ladies meant well, but it was really a work of unbelief. They went to the tomb not believing that Jesus, what Jesus had told them. Instead of anointing a corpse, they got to hear from angels what the angels had heard Jesus say. You think about this for a minute. Isn't it amazing that angels hear and remember what God says? Isn't that amazing? They said to the women, when you were in Galilee, Jesus told you this. And then they quoted what Jesus said. I think that's amazing that angels take what Jesus said as very, very important and something they don't forget. And that should be the way it is with us too, isn't it? Should be. We should never forget what the Bible says because we're going to need every one of those words. You know, I was at the YMCA this week, and the lifeguard didn't come. Like twice this week, the lifeguard didn't come. So you have all these people sitting in the hallway there waiting to jump into the pool. And no lifeguard. You can't jump in the pool because the door's locked. And so you just talk with the people. And I got to practice my sermon with those people. I don't know what they wanted to hear totally. But I got to share with them and talk to them and tell them about the importance of the Word of God. You know, it's so important to put the Word of God into our hearts and remember what he said. The angels remembered exactly what Jesus said. The women discovered that they should have known that Jesus is alive. And the angels proved it to them. They proved it to them. He is risen. Fourth proof. Stunned disciples. Absolutely stunned disciples. They were not expecting this to happen. Verse 9 through 12 talks about this. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. To the 11 because Judas is no longer with them. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women. Can you imagine how disappointed these ladies must have been? We saw this. We talked to angels. God gave a special revelation. He reminded us of all the things we should have known. And now we're going to talk to these guys. And they don't believe us. They don't accept what we're saying. And they didn't believe them because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Fourth proof, stunned disciples, absolutely stunned. If the disciples had stolen away the body of Jesus, when the women came back from the tomb, don't you think they probably would have given them a hint? Like, oh yeah, we already know about this, ladies. You know, we got the body, you know, hid in the back closet. They didn't do that. They were stunned. You can tell from their reaction that they were shocked, they were surprised that Jesus was alive. You see two reactions rather than, you know, putting these ladies, or saying those things to the ladies, two reactions that prove to us that this was not some kind of conspiracy that was going on. First of all, thinking that the women told news that seemed like nonsense to them. These women were talking, but it seemed like, to translate that word there, leros is a Greek word, as fairy tales, as wishful thinking, or as the King James says, as idle tales. You know, the stuff that did not make sense. How can this be? And Luke tells us, using a medical term in order to describe this. And this term is used for the feverish ramblings of a delirious patient. That's what they thought these ladies sounded like. You know, out of their minds, telling them about the fact that he is risen. Secondly, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Not walked, he ran to the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen, but no body. They were laying there like the body had come through the linen. You know, and, you know, usually if people steal a body, they take the linen with them. The linen is still laying there like it was surrounded by going over the body, but the body had come through, been resurrected through the linen. He saw the strips of linen, but no body. So he confirms for us too. There's no body in the tomb. The tomb is empty. It says that Peter marveled. He remained neutral about what he was seeing because he was just shocked by this. It was not until Jesus appeared to him, he himself, that he would accept that Jesus rose from the dead. Tough-hearted people, weren't they? Find an empty tomb. You see angels talking to women. Direct revelation from God. And yet, some people doubted. I mean, hard to believe. You know, God wrote this letter to Theophilus. And he's also written a letter to us. It's called the Bible. There's 66 books, all designed to tell us about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the main stuff, the main thing, the main story, the goal we should all get. He even tells us in a very important passage of the Bible that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God did what? God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a very important part of our salvation. Salvation message. You have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Maybe today you'll be the next one in our church who puts his faith in Jesus. Maybe you will be. If you do that, put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will become a child of the King. And you know what? That's the most important thing. That'll be the most important thing in your life for the rest of your life. No matter what awards you get, what job you have, doesn't matter. The most important thing is you're a child of the King. We have to believe it. We have to accept it. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this wonderful message today that he's alive. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's not nailed on the cross anymore. But he is the living, our living Savior. Lord, help us to believe these things. Help us to trust in you. Help us not to doubt. Like people, even in the Bible, who saw it firsthand, were apt to do. Not to doubt, but to trust, depend, believe what you've told us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, number 213, Because He Lives, and then we'll follow it with the doxology.
Jesus, He came to
very many things that I disagree with Everett Crosby about. And, you know, Everett read to us at the beginning today that something was of first importance, didn't he? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the first importance. And this is the third time this week I've got the chance to tell people that. You know what? Whether it's kids with LifeWise, same thing. Kids, this is the goal. This is the purpose. This is the reason that everything is revealed to us because of the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or people at the pool. The death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the reason, the purpose, the goal. And again today, same thing all over again. Same message. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most important thing. Get it. Catch it. Make it a part of your life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you personally. To understand that this Bible was written to us personally so that we might know. We might not be lost. We might have our sins forgiven. We might have eternal life. We might have a spot in heaven prepared for us. Lord, help us to take these things to heart. And like the angels said to these ladies, remember the things that Jesus told us. Reflect on these things and make it apply to our lives in a real way. Thanks for each one that's here. I pray that you'll protect them and guide them throughout the days coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. Thank you.